For the Lord is good and faithful. Amen. And also strong and kind. All those attributes. You just, yes, that's the only kind of God I love to serve. And we get to serve him. And we get to worship him here this morning together. I rejoice in that. That's great. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name and in your presence to praise you, to come before you, Lord, and to give it all to you. So welcome those of you here physically and those of you that are joining us online. May you feel his presence as we worship him.
Good morning. The first reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Here ends the reading.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 32 through 36. Jesus speaking. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you that you are kind and merciful to us, that you show us grace even when we don't deserve it. Help us to do the same to others. Amen. So working through the fruits of the Spirit once again, today we arrive on kindness. And fruits are what the Spirit produces in us, right? It's not from us. It's from the Spirit within us. It should show in our lives to God's glory. When we accept Jesus into our lives, that Spirit comes to dwell within us. And it's going to rearrange the furniture for the good, right? It's going to make some changes. And those changes should just spill out into our lives. And we should see then the fruits of the Spirit in our lives as we live for Christ. Today we come to kindness then. And didn't wear it today, but I've got one of those shirts that says, Be Kind. I love that. Margaret Peterson, at the time she was 97 years old, came up with this idea over in Glenwood, and it caught on. I mean, we had Be Kind pep rallies out at the school. People were in the shirts, random act of kindness, you know, through Pope County and beyond. She just really made a difference with a shirt and a movement to be kind. Two simple words, just be kind. But they sum up so much about what it is to be a Christian. To be kind to others, because God has been kind to us, right? Like I've said before, I like to think about what it would like if everybody would simply be kind. It's not that tough. Maybe sometimes it's a little tougher, and with certain people it's a little tougher, but to be kind to others. If everybody was kind, wow, we wouldn't have any crime problems, right? Because everybody's being nice to everybody else. Thus, we don't need jails, we don't need prisons. The judges would be out of jobs. I mean, everything. I mean, it just, if everybody would just be kind, it's that simple. Two little words, be kind. We wouldn't need militaries in the world because everybody's being kind to everybody else. Wow, how much could we save without the prisons, without the militaries? A lot. If everybody's being kind to everybody else, would we even need borders or anything like that? No, we wouldn't, because everybody's just simply being nice and being kind. We could save a lot on that too, couldn't we? If everybody would just be kind. That's, you know, listen to what Margaret said, be kind. And it's not that tough. It's something we teach in kindergarten, right, to be kind. But apparently some people miss that day of kindergarten because they're just not getting it and they're not being kind. And, well, of course, our enemy is not kind. Seeks to cause division, steal, kill, and destroy, and to try to squash kindness where he sees it and sow seeds of unkindness, if you will. But kindness is fun. You know, if you've ever done those random acts of kindness, or you just do good for someone, not expecting anything in return, like it said in the gospel there as well, just being kind to others gives you a good feeling, doesn't it, to be kind to someone, especially when you can do it on the anonymous or whatever, they don't even know who is kind to them. That's sort of fun. And it doesn't have to cost anything. It can, you know, maybe you're being kind to someone by paying off a bill or something like that, but there's also little things we can do that don't cost a single thing, but make a difference. They can make someone's day. You never know what someone's going through. Maybe you're having a really tough day yourself, and then someone just does something really kind to you, or maybe some words of kindness, and wow, that can change everything, can it? It can change everything. And sometimes just a little thing can make a big difference. Just a little act of kindness can really make a difference in someone's life or in a situation. Being kind to everyone, some people it's easier to be kind to, you know, those that are kind to us. But those that are not kind to us, we can still be kind in return. Now for the right reason, not out of spite, not out of malice, not to, you know, but for the right motive, right? The motive matters once again. So being kind is something that should be seen in what we say and in what we do. It should help to define us as Christians. You know, you can take your definition of Christian, and kindness is a big, big part of that definition of a Christian. So we hear about today in Ephesians, starting out here. Being kind, treating others well. Paul writes, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Yeah, I remember telling that to the boys when they're growing up, you know, just, you know, say good about others and to them. Use your words to build others up, not to tear them down, but to build others up. And that unwholesome talk, I don't know, that just got me thinking. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. So then I started thinking about unwholesome talk. Well, I was in the military, I've heard some of that. Okay, and we all have, let's face it. We all have unwholesome talk. And I got to thinking, is that, you know, cross-cultural and cross-chronological in all places and all times? And so I started doing a little bit of research the other day in the afternoon there and started reading studies that people had done. Sociologists have done studies on cussing and swearing. And they found out, yes, every culture out there in every language has certain words reserved for that, or else they'll take words and then assign them that. So it exists everywhere. Why? You know, and then they got into the studies on that because it's cathartic. It sometimes makes a person feel better after you hit your thumb with a hammer to, you know, yell out certain words. Why not yell out cucumber or something like that, you know, which it seemed to be harmless. But there's power in words. There is. There's power in words. And our enemy, of course, will use that too. He wants us to do things like even take the name of the Lord our God in vain. I mean, pretty serious stuff there. But that power in the words can be used in a positive way, right, to build others up. And that's a wonderful thing we can do, just by saying something kind. Now, that's a piece of kindness that doesn't really cost anything, to say something kind. We can use our words in that way to help others, to build them up, to make their day. So let us be known for that, and definitely not for the unwholesome talk. Alrighty? Not only the unwholesome talk, but unwholesome thoughts too, right? Because maybe sometimes people don't say it, but they're thinking it. And we have to take that captive, take every thought captive, right? Because sometimes there's those thoughts that run through your head too that are not wholesome, that they are not good. And you got to take those captive. And again, when they're captive, they're bound, right? They can't do anything. They're rendered helpless and ineffective to, you know, cause further harm. So not only what you say, but what you think. Take that into account. That it may benefit other, those who listen. Again, we're seeking to build others up. Okay. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. To grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I take that as like disappointing God. Think about when you're younger, maybe a teenager or something like that. Your parents sometimes didn't even really have to say anything. You just knew you had disappointed them. That was bad, right? That got you in the conscience. I'd rather face the principal or the police or anything like that when I was young than disappoint my folks, right? Maybe you can relate. There's times you have. And then when you become parents, sometimes you see that in your kids. You just go, yes, they're getting it. You know, you just let them know you're disappointed. Don't get mad. Just let them know you're disappointed. And then after a while, they think about it, and then they do the right thing. And you're just going, yes. Well, do we disappoint God? And how does he react? Well, doesn't smite us with violence. Like I say, there'd be nothing but smoking craters all around us if that was the case. But he's patient with us, and he is kind. So we seek to please God, right? Not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, not to disappoint him. We are human, but luckily he's very patient, right? Luckily for that. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's pretty cool too. Think back to the context of the times when you had an official scroll or a message from the king or some authority, they would put a seal on it, right? It was theirs. It was from them. No one else is allowed to open it. It is claimed by them as theirs. When you've been sealed by that Holy Spirit, when you believed, you got a seal. He claimed you as his. No one else is allowed to mess with it. You are his. Thank you, Lord, for that. That was said earlier in the letter too here. For whom you are sealed for the... Oh, let's see. I got to get back to Ephesians 1. I thought I had written down the verse here, but apparently I didn't. Okay, we'll find it though. It's in there. Okay, there we go. Verse 113. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, just that small payment ahead of time, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of his glory. So when you believed, you were marked with that seal. And yeah, how cool is that? He claimed you as his, and no one else is allowed to mess with that, to open it. I like that. That's reassuring that we were claimed as his when we believed. And that was the key. That was the belief, right? The belief. When I'm meeting with parents who bring in an infant to be baptized, I turn to Mark 16. And I sit down with them and tell them about the seriousness of baptism. And how it says that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Two requirements, believe and to be baptized. I said, we can take care of the baptism part, but the belief part, parents are going to play a huge, huge role in that. And the following verse, for he who does not believe is already condemned. So it's telling us about the importance of belief, the belief. Those who, John 1:13, those who believe and receive will have the right to become the children of God, right? John 1:12, that is actually. So that belief is so important. And it's because of that belief that we get sealed and we get to claim that, hey, we are children of God because we believe. He respects that. He rewards that. And when an unbeliever believes, there's that great rejoicing in heaven as well. I mean, there's just so much about belief. Wow, that's a whole nother sermon right there, belief. That's okay. That might come about someday. So he goes on now, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You know, these are the opposites of kindness, right? Kindness is the good thing. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It should be seen in our lives. What's the opposite? The things we need to get rid of, Get them out of your life. Bitterness. Nah, no place. Rage. Anger. Brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That list could be pretty doggone long, couldn't it? So these should have no place in the life of a Christian. Of course, we're going to be tempted to that at times, and you know, maybe people do get out of control sometimes, but we repent and turn back to God. So let us not be defined by that. You know, maybe some of that was in our past, but you know, that past is removed as far as the east is from the west when we come to Him. And it's not us anymore, right? We have that new identity. We are His children, right? The old is gone, the new has come. We have that new life in Him, that new identity. So the bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, no. Instead, these have been replaced, right? These get replaced. The furniture gets rearranged. And they're replaced with being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving, just as God in Christ, or just as in Christ God forgave you. Kindness, compassion, and forgiving. Those three really go together, don't they? To be kind, to be compassionate, and to be forgiving. To be kind again. Just to be nice. To be compassionate. I had to take that word apart. Compassion means to suffer with. When you take the word apart, and you look at the Latin roots there, to suffer with. So compassion, it goes beyond sympathy. It's a form of mercy, but it's even more personal. To suffer with, to sit alongside, to experience it with someone, to be there with them, and to be there for them. Christ was known as compassionate, Jesus, when He walked here on earth, and of course He is today as well. And that's something we can all do as well. When someone's going through that tough time, maybe they've undergone a major loss, and there are no words. There's nothing you can really say. But you can be compassionate. You can sit with them, right? And let God be present with through you in that situation. So being kind, compassionate, and then forgiving. Just as in Christ God forgave you. How much did He forgive us? Yeah, that's humbling. And we are to be forgiving in the same way. Wow, that takes a lot to be that forgiving. Especially with the people that don't deserve it in our eyes. Those are the tough ones to forgive. And of course, as I've said before, perhaps the toughest one to forgive sometimes is yourself. Very true. So being kind, compassionate, forgiving, again, those three sort of go together. They're almost intertwined, kind, compassionate, and forgiving. It sets an example for those around us. And God, again, has shown us kindness. He's shown us compassion and forgiveness. Do we show it to others? Okay, well, that's where Romans comes in here that we read earlier, or Dorothy read for us. Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and impatience? Are we ungrateful to God for showing us that? Something to think about. Are we thankful enough? Can we be thankful enough? Never thought of that. Wow, can we be thankful enough? He's given us so much. He's been so patient with us. He's been so kind. Okay, so let us not be ungrateful. Let us give thanks to that. Definitely don't show contempt. Showing contempt for the riches of His kindness? Wow, that's more than being ungrateful, to be contemptuous. These are some strong words here. Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? That's why He's kind to us, huh? To lead us to repentance. To lead us. Not to push us. There's a lot to that. That's deep. Are we willing to be led? He seeks to lead us to repentance. How? With kindness. By being kind. Again, He could push, or He could demand, you will repent, you know? No. God's a real gentleman in that way. And beyond, right? Okay. Kindness intended to lead you to repentance. That reminds me of John 3:16 and 17 as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for us, that those who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's out of kindness. For he did not send him into the world to condemn the world, is what follows. Could have done it in the negative way, right? Think about examples of parenting and things like that too. You know, you can really be harsh and negative and expect something to happen, or else you can be kind and try to lead them into the right way. Positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement. A couple of classic techniques. And our God does the positive thing with us. He's patient with us, he's kind, and he's forgiving, compassionate, but he's also just. He's also just. The Message Bible inserts the sentence, God is kind, but he's not soft. God is kind, but he's not soft. Wow. Okay, so don't get too warm and fuzzy here, because he is a just God. And people would get what they deserve if it wasn't for Jesus sort of stepping in and taking that for us. But people can reject even that. And they can say, no, I'm not going to follow Jesus or believe that he took that sin for me. And then, yeah, they'll suffer the justice and the wrath of God. Not a pleasant thing to think about. The love of God. Wow, think about that. How beautiful is that? What would the wrath of God be like? Yeah. Again, a bunch of smoking craters around us where people used to be, perhaps. And worse, because it goes beyond that. The smoking crater just be temporary, but you know, there's eternal life in one of two locations too. So let us respond to his kindness by treating others with kindness. And that's where the preceding verses come in. We had verses 1-4 here. I started out with 4. But what leads up to it? You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Got the green one here. Okay, thank you. God will pass judgment. And by accepting Jesus, yeah, we're not going to be among those that are judged in the negative way. We're going to be judged worthy. That word judgment can be taken a couple ways too. You know, you think about a judge at the county fair or something, you're trying to decide which one's the best, right? And I wouldn't mind being, you know, the judge of the pies or something like that, where I get the sample of all. Okay, that'd be great. But some are judged to be very nice, very good. This is not a condemnation, negative judgment. This is a different kind, right? But here, when we're judging others, we're probably not judging who's the best. We're probably looking at the negative connotations, right? So don't judge others. We know that God's judgments against those who do such things is based on truth. Absolutely, he's a God of truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? If we've been changed to be like him, we should be forgiving, compassionate, and kind, not harshly judging others. Easy to do as humans, to harshly judge others. Easy to do. But no, we are not that person anymore. We have a new life in Christ. Alrighty? And we don't show contempt for the riches of his kindness. The riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, an important word there too. Because it's not just a little bit, it's a lot. We're talking big riches of patience and kindness and forgiveness. That's our God. Well, Jesus spoke about it while he walked the earth too. And we heard those words in Luke today. Talks about being kind, but using different words. It's the same type of deal. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Could we substitute, perhaps, if you are kind to those who are kind to you? Love and kindness, big connection, big overlap, absolutely. Even sinners love or are kind to those who are kind to them. And it's easy to be kind and loving to those who are the same to us, right? And if you do what is good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that, absolutely. And if you lend in the same way, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid. Now, there's the deal with kindness. Do we expect to be repaid for it? No. We're not doing it to earn anything with anybody. We're doing it out of who we are as Christians because of the Spirit within us. And we don't expect to be repaid. That's the deal with kindness. We don't expect to be repaid. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High. We're not talking an earthly reward. You know, it's not like good things are going to happen to you when you're good to others. Yeah, it may, absolutely. It's entirely possible. People are going to be good back to you in return. But we're looking ahead to our heavenly reward because we're not storing up for ourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven is what we're doing. Again, kindness does not expect repayment. We do it because of who we are. It's who we are and what we do as Christians. It's who we have become in Christ. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be the children of the Most High. Wow, to be his children. And yeah, for those who receive and believe have the right to become the children of God and have him as our parent. That's the best ever. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Again, it's easy to be kind to those who are kind in return and a little tougher to those who are not. But you think about Jesus dying on the cross. He died for us, and this while we were still sinners. Giving up his very life for people that are unkind and ungrateful. And then ultimately forgiving them from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow, that's not human, is it? That's God. And finally, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You could think of it, be kind. Again, kindness, mercy, and love go together. A lot of these things are the same concept. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful to the same degree in the same way. Well, that goes beyond our humanness if we're going to do it to the same degree in the same way. But he set an example by being loving, by being kind, by being compassionate, by being forgiving. And let us do the same. He showed kindness to us. Let us show it to others, to his glory. Amen.